Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8 is the one we will be studying. Just to give you a brief summary of the psalm, it pretty much talks about idols and how they cannot do anything for you because they cannot hear, they cannot see, they cannot do anything. And those that trust in those idols are pretty much like the idols. You know, they're pretty much useless. And we will see at some key, we will look at some keywords found in the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah that describes those that worship idols. But idolatry was very common in the Old Testament, and it's something that is very common nowadays too. If you remember book of Exodus chapter 32, it wasn't long, very long after God delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, or Egyptian bondage, and the children of Israel pretty much tried to replace God and make the golden calf. Exodus chapter 32, you can find that over there and read about it and see how disappointing that scene was. God delivered them from bondage. That's what they have been praying for. And all of a sudden, here they go, the children of Israel. And that's very sad. I think it's chapter 14 and verse 27, if I'm not mistaken, that it says that the children of Israel believed God. But right after they crossed the Red Sea, you know, it was all down the hill from there. And they had their ups and downs, obviously. But either way, idolatry was a serious problem. And it is still a serious problem nowadays because we have all kinds of forms of idolatry. Idolatry has evolved in such a way that, you know, there's a lot of things that take away the first place God should have in our lives. And we will discuss some of those. But first of all, before moving on, I want to discuss worshiping images. What kind of images people worship today? As you can see there, we have the Virgin Mary, we have a Buddha, we have, by the way, that one right here is not an accident. That right there is actually upside down for a reason. You can put it, you know, normal, but it's called San Antonio in Spanish or Saint Anthony in English, and it's the saint of love. If you want a boyfriend, if you want a girlfriend, turn Saint Anthony upside down, light up a red candle, a few red candles, and it's not complete there, but to complete the ritual, you might want to add the picture of the person that you want, and then just say the prayer that is specifically directed to Saint Anthony, and you will get the boyfriend or the girlfriend that you want. Sounds a lot like witchcraft, doesn't it? But you're praying to a saint. That makes it all right, I guess. And anyway, so it was no accident that this guy over here is upside down. Then you have people worshiping cows, rats, and all kinds of animals. And I came across a Byzantine Catholic a few years ago, and he says that they don't worship images like the Roman Catholics do. They still consider them brothers and sisters, but they're off a little bit, he said. But they don't worship images. They venerate what they call icons. And so they're icons, pretty much pictures, and that's what they worship. And he says that they don't worship, they venerate. Look up in the dictionary. Worship and venerate, they're pretty much synonyms. And so they talk about not worshiping, they venerate, but it's the same thing. When you venerate God, you're pretty much worshiping or expressing acts of worship to him. And they do that, but to the icons. And so that's what people do nowadays. And it's still present. Back then it was the golden calf. Nowadays is Mary and whatever saint that has a biblical name or whatever other name that people make up. And pretty much idolatry is very much present nowadays also. Next, why is it a sin to worship images? Yes.
I think you left out the most important one to this group.
What? Which one?
It's the one that Paul said covetousness is idolatry.
You're getting ahead of myself. We'll get there.
I didn't see money up there.
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. Trust me. You will see it. We'll get there in a minute because we're discussing a little bit about the different idols that we have nowadays that come in the form of a statue. But then we'll get to the other idols that rule our hearts, and covetousness or money is one of those. And we will touch on that briefly in a few seconds or minutes, actually. But why is it a sin to worship images? Anybody knows? Why is it a sin for you to bow down to a statue of the Virgin Mary or rub Buddha's belly so you can have money.
You kiss St. Peter's toe.
Wow, that's a warm response. Okay, right here. Exactly. Over here.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Same thing he said over here. Anyway, so that's pretty much point number one. God forbids it. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, he talks about not making any image of whatever is in heaven, on earth, and down below. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if he had a biblical name. It doesn't matter what it is. God says pretty much don't do it, and God forbids it. What else? Images cannot do anything for us. According to Psalm chapter 115, verses 1 through 8, pretty much the verse, it summarizes that they have eyes, but they cannot see, ears, but cannot hear, mouth, but they cannot speak, etc., etc. So you cannot rely on them. And as other passages state, they pretty much cannot do anything on their own. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, talks about how man carves those images. And he fastens those images into, I guess, a cart, if you want. And then man has to carry those images. That image cannot fly, cannot levitate or do anything on its own. It needs man to move around. Not only that, but man is the actual creator of those images, according to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. And we should worship God and God alone. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. When Satan was trying to get Jesus to worship him, bow down and worship me, Satan said, and I will pretty much leave you alone. You know, I'll let you carry it through with your mission here, but I just want you to do this for me. And Jesus said to him, you know, we should only worship God and God alone. So that's one of the reasons why worshiping images is sinful. Not only that, but we should worship God and pretty much give God the first place in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the classic, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't talk about seeking the saints of God, St. Paul, St. Jude, St. Peter, and none of those. It talks about seeking the kingdom of God. All those names that you hear, Paul, Peter, Jude, all those were co-laborers in the kingdom, people that were pretty much trying to put God first in their lives. And that's the same mission we should have, putting God first in our lives. So that's why it is a sin to have images. Not only that, but Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. I'm going to ask some people to read Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. Jeremiah 10, 8. Someone else, Jeremiah 10, verses 14 and 15. All right. Verses 14 through 15, Jeremiah 10. Okay, and then someone else, this one is a little bit longer, but from there I will draw the key words from two different versions, the New King James and the New American Standard Bible. The next passage is Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 20. And that pretty much depicts a very sad picture when it comes to the reality a lot of people are living nowadays. They know an idol is made by men, but they still worship him. They use the same wood that they use to make the idol for different other things, but they don't realize, they don't really have the intelligence to reason in their hearts and say, well, you know, I just cut down a tree and, you know, we'll let Isaiah speak for himself. Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 20. All right. Pretty much keywords. New American Standard Bible and New King James, God pretty much calls stupid the act of worshiping an idol, foolish, worthless doctrine, a lie, something that is futile, work of errors, useless, non-profitable, deception, and vanity. And when it comes to non-profitable, only those that make those images are the ones that are making a profit. And people are so ignorant nowadays that they still believe that that statue can do something for them and then go and buy stuff for that statue. There's a day in Central America, in El Salvador mainly, called the Day of the Cross on May 3rd. You go there, you put a cross and you put all kinds of fruits. You buy the fruit, you put everything there, and then you go there, and if you want to grab some fruit, you go and do the sign of the cross, and then you grab. So you're pretty much worshiping a cross too. Though the cross is used as a sign of Christianity and stands for the message of the gospel in scriptures when used correctly, yet who has the right to make a cross, put fruit there that you buy yourself, you put it there yourself, and then in order for you to have respect for the cross and be able to get something, do the sign of the cross and do all those kinds of things. You know, idolatry, especially I believe in Latin America, is so great, and it's one of the biggest or greatest deception of all time, because people are not willing to read their Bibles. They just settle for whatever the priest or their pastor tells them, and that's pretty much it. So it's pretty much a sad reality that we encounter. What are the consequences of worshiping images? Quickly, you will be put to shame. Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 10. You will remain an ignorant. Chapter 44, verses 19 through 20. You will live in deception. Isaiah 44, verse 20. And you will be condemned. God does not tolerate worshiping images. He wants you to worship Him and Him only. If you go ahead and try to have your own idols in your house, then guess what? You will not be making it to heaven. It doesn't matter how much trust you put in that idol, God will say, I'm sorry, but I never knew you. You know, you were too busy talking to this statue right here that perhaps you yourself made or someone else made, your neighbor, and you just wasted your time doing that instead of worshiping me. So God takes worshiping idols seriously, and it's a serious sin against God. So we need to be very careful. Now, as a spin-off from this Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8, we'll use worshiping idols of the heart, Ezekiel 14 and verse 3, where God talks about people setting up idols in their hearts. And what are some of the idols that men have in their hearts? Our brother Holland mentioned one: money. What about money? In God we trust, right? And the bigger the number, the more trust we put in it, right? If it's $1, oh yeah, in God we trust, it's just a dollar. It says $100 bill. I'm not sure if they have $1,000 bills here in the U.S. They probably do. I never seen them. But, you know, the bigger the number, the more trust you put in it. Why? Because it's pretty much what, you know, gets you everything you want. And I'm not saying money is evil. You can support your family. You can buy clothes to dress yourself. You can support the church, its various ministries. You can do a lot of good things with money. In fact, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and following, after verse 10 states that the root of all, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, it's not saying that money is evil. Because later on in verse 16 through 18, I believe, Paul gives advice to those who are rich. You know, they need to be rich also in good works, not just money, and be able to share. So if there's advice for people that are rich, then that pretty much tells us that money is not sinful. It's the way people love money and the way people want to get that money to buy whatever they want is what makes it sometimes idolatry. Why? Because people, nowadays you hear a lot of stories. I've heard so many stories. Girls, what do they do, a lot of girls? They become prostitutes to make money to pay for their college. Guys, they also engage themselves in illicit or sexual acts for money. People, they do drugs and they sell them to get money. So it's so much about the money. It's so much about having the cash. And sometimes you watch movies and you see the face of people. They're actors, obviously, but you see the face of people, how they get when they have those big piles of cash in their hands, that you just wonder, where exactly is their heart? What is being promoted nowadays? Love for money. Is money evil? No, money is not evil. There's a lot of good things that can come from it, but the love of money is what the big problem is. And a lot of people, we can relate this to work also. I met a couple a few years ago. The sister in Christ was pretty much complaining that her husband worked 7 days a week. He literally worked because he wanted to make sure his house was finished in his country and that everything that he did, you know, was just pretty much to have a home, a nice looking home wherever he was from. And what happened? He didn't make it. He tired himself out. He started getting sick and pretty much he died. There's a lot of people also that get, we could say, workaholics. And what happens? Well, can I make it to Sunday worship services? Why? I have to work. And there's cases, I'm not going to say, when people do have to work on Sunday, but why not try to make arrangements? Because a lot of people don't even try to make arrangements and be Sunday morning or Sunday evening in worship services. They just say, well, I got to work. That's my excuse, and that's it, right? There's a lot of people that I've known, and I know they are out there, not necessarily in this congregation, obviously, but in the church in general, in the world, that they just pretty much put money and work in the first place and God pretty much in the last place. But as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, we need to be free from the love of money because, you know, God is the one that will provide for our needs. He's the creator, Genesis 1:1, and everything belongs to God. Chapter 24 and verse 1 of the book of Psalms. What else? We have sex, drugs, and alcohol. That's another idol that people have in their hearts. Almost the entire world is obsessed with sex, drugs, and alcohol. The Bible pretty much exhorts us to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It also tells us that drugs are a work of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. The word there in our English Bible is witchcraft, but the Greek word behind it denotes the idea of using drugs to make people get into an ecstasy, you know, so you can fool them and they can start seeing things and then they believe that somebody's actually doing magic over there. But so drugs is a work of the flesh and the Bible prohibits it. And those who practice the works of the flesh are pretty much not making it or inheriting the kingdom of heaven. Also alcohol. It tells us to avoid alcohol. Chapter 20, verse 1 of Proverbs and 23, verses 29 through 35. But people can't seem to get it through their heads that all those things are idolatry, that all those things are not profitable for them, that all those things will actually take them to their doomsday, to their destruction. Why? Because, you know, those things are not profitable. What we need to do and we need to advise everybody in the church is to keep sex in marriage and keep drugs and alcohol out of your body. That's what we need to advise people. But, you know, it is sad to see cases in the church where people are addicted to these things and they worship these things because our society worships them. What happens? I think Brother David Sproul, when he was talking about the will of God, but who's God or which God, a sermon, something along those lines. I remember, I'm not quite sure if it was in that sermon or another sermon on a similar subject that he mentioned a website where they pretty much promise you to get you a one-night stand if you signed up and pay the fee. Websites promoting that. People go into those websites. There's sex clubs, there's swingers clubs, all those kind of spam mail that you get through email, all those things promoting sex. Drugs and alcohol. You turn to the radio and sometimes you hear DJs talk and female DJs and they say, you know what? It is sad, they say, but jokingly, but it is sad, but I cannot go a day without a drink. And what they mean is obviously alcohol. And it is sad to see how many people, they just engage in this type of thing and they just make a joke out of it. Not only that, but even in the church. It's been a long time that social drinking has been infiltrated in the church. A lot of churches are strong enough to keep it outside the church. But a lot of members, sometimes secretly, what do? Oh, we have wine here for cooking. See, is it okay to use wine for cooking? Some people use it, right? The alcohol evaporates. But then what happens? But every now and then, I take a little sip, right? That's where the problem is. It's not that you use perhaps a little cup of wine and put it on your meat or whatever because the alcohol evaporates, But the problem is when you are all of a sudden yielding to the sin of alcohol, and then all of a sudden it's okay, I'm going to sip on it. It's just one little sip, right? Try to get a little bit of poison, and then you do a little sip. Does that work? I think Brother Taylor, in one of his tracks, the Drinking, Dancing, and Alcohol, something like that, a title similar to that, he was mentioning that drunkenness is not necessarily about losing all your senses. He said that drunkenness is about the level of alcohol in your body. If you take one beer, you are drunk one beer because you are intoxicated that one percentage or whatever percentage beer has of alcohol and you have it in your body. You take a 12-pack or 6-pack or 24-pack, whatever you want to call it, you are drunk a 6-pack or you are drunk a 12-pack or you are drunk a 24-pack. But the point is that one beer, you are drunk one beer. Why? Because alcohol entered through your system or to your system with one beer. And it doesn't matter if after that is 2, 3, 4, or 20 more, still it's a sin that people are promoting and people are idolizing. I remember the days when I used to work at the body shop, and a lot of the friends, that, well, friends I would call them, just acquaintances pretty much, or co-workers, they would say, can't wait for my six-pack Friday night. Sunday morning, they never went to church, according to them. They slept till probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Monday morning came, they dragged their feet to work. And then guess what they were doing? Around 10 o'clock when it was getting hot, because it was one of those shops that it was made out of sheet metal. Do you have 50 cents so I can buy a bottle of water? I'm sorry, I don't have 50 cents. There's the faucet there. You can drink water from there. No, but that water tastes nasty. Well, sorry, too bad. You know, sometimes I drink from that water, but I try to bring my own water. But why would you waste your money on alcohol and then struggle to buy a bottle of water, struggle to pay your bills, struggle to pay your rent, all because, I cannot wait for Friday and get my six-pack, right? It is unbelievable what people do. The Bible exhorts us to live a sober, righteous, and godly life, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, and to refrain from the lusts that destroy the soul, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. So it is important that we abstain from those things. Also, material things. A lot of people are focused on keeping up with the Joneses. Are you the type of person that you just got the iPhone 5S this probably January, but the iPhone 6 already came out and you want it? And in a few months, I guess not even a year, the other iPhone is going to come out and you want that one too? The iPad Air, and I don't know what they call it nowadays. And you just want to keep updating to keep up with the technology? I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but you should see a lot of people struggling financially because they want to keep up with the Joneses. They want to keep up with the latest technologies. They want to keep up with the latest model car or vehicle. They want to keep up with the bigger, better house and all those things. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Who remembers the message there? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay up for yourselves treasured where? In heaven, not on earth. What's going to happen to that iPad, brand new iPad that you just upgraded because you didn't like the old one you just bought 3 months ago? If you die today, what's going to happen to it? Yeah? Somebody else is going to enjoy it, right? Like that rich man. I'm going to fill up my barns and, you know, just say to my soul, do all those kinds of things. You know, enjoy your life, your retirement. And I'm saying don't plan for retirement. It'd be foolish if you didn't. But, you know, plan, but don't let those things take the first place in your life. Yes? Forget the psalm, but David was pretty much asking God to give him just enough to live, you know, a normal life. Not too much so he won't forget about God, and not too little so he won't curse God because, hey, I don't have anything, you know, just enough to get by. And God has promised us to provide for all of our needs. It's just a matter of us having the right perspective in life, looking for God and giving him the first place, and all these things shall be added unto you, he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. So it is important that material things don't become an idol in our lives. And again, I'm not against upgrading your tablet or your computer. That's not the point, but you know that the attitude that people have towards those things and how they always want to keep up with those things, even if they can't afford it, and that's how they get into a lot of financial debt. I was proposed a business last Thursday, and I went to a short meeting that they had, a 20-minute meeting, and it's called Wake Up Now, and it's similar to Amway. You get three people, and you get those three people to find three people each, and you get 12 people, and in a month, you're going to get $600 a month. Then you start working your way up, and once you get to 223 people, 150, because you have to pay 150 to sign up and have that opportunity to share the news with others. Once you reach 223 people, multiply that by 150, 33,450. I'm not good at math. I already reviewed this in my mind. So anyway, they give you $5,000 a month, and they always appeal to the Latino community because saying, you Latinos, you come here and you struggle and you don't have time to spend with your family, and wouldn't you like to have some extra cash in your pocket and go pick up your children from school and all those things that a lot of us crave? And they're, yeah, everybody's, you know, we want that. And they offer this deal with you, sign up, $150 a month, and you can use a website that this company has, Wake Up Now, so you can find good deals. And by you saving, you're making money. I have a cheaper way, Google, Amazon, eBay, and they deliver it to your house. You don't have to pay $150 a month to have access to all these great online deals. But then again, who's making the money? The people running the scam. So pretty much, Amway, Wake Up Now. It doesn't matter what the name is, it's the same thing. Yes? Yeah, exactly. The same strategy and the same speech, and people get all rattled up and, yeah, we're going to make money. Yes? Yeah, pretty much. You bypass God and you turn to all those things because you feel that you have to be right with those things first and avoid whatever calamity is coming your way. So being superstitious is also another form of idolatry, and it's something that, you know, it's very common. In Spanish, it's Tuesday the 13th. It's not Friday the 13th, for those of you that didn't know. Tuesday, don't get married and don't get on a boat, you know, or something like that, because something could happen to you. But it's not Friday the 13th. They still do the Friday the 13th, but it's mainly Tuesday the 13th. For some reason, they changed it. But anyway, real briefly, with the couple of minutes that we have left, we have religious leaders. This man right here, he's already dead. He died last year, but he used to call himself the Antichrist. He's from Puerto Rico, or was from Puerto Rico. His name, Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He was calling himself the Antichrist. He established the church called Growing in Grace, Creciendo en Gracia, and he had the tattoo of 666 in his hand. A lot of teenagers, I love my daddy. They call him daddy because he says in the book of Hebrews that we can do whatever we want. When I heard that, did you even read the book of Hebrews? Do you even know where it is? They're like, well, my daddy lets me do whatever I want. He doesn't judge me, they would say. Others, you know, getting the same tattoo, 666. Super, I guess, daddy or something in Spanish is blocked over there. But they kept getting the 666 and following this guy like crazy. Last year, according to the news, the guy died from cirrhosis because of his heavy drinking problems. Some religious leader he was, right? But people idolize, and some even got aggressive to the point that they probably would punch you in the face if you said anything negative about them. In fact, they're so in denial that they say that he's not dead, that he's going to come back in a radioactive body, and we shall see him once again. But he's not dead, because he said that he's indestructible.
He's somewhere with Elvis.
Yeah. Assuming Elvis is dead. Because some think Elvis is still alive. And finally, obviously, celebrities. I woke up to the news this morning, tragedy. Pakistan, 132 children. Serious news, right? Then they come up with another news. That was the disappointing news of the day. Justin Timberlake went to Taylor Swift's 25th birthday party, and he was wearing a mask. They call it the doo-doo mask. It was a mask shaped in the form of poop, pretty much. And the store that sells this mask, all of a sudden, is running out of their mask because people have gone crazy to the website and buy the same mask that Justin Timberlake was wearing at Taylor Swift's party. Isn't that idolatry? What do I care what Justin Timberlake does at somebody else's party that I don't even know? But people idolize red carpet. You can put whatever celebrity there. I'm not saying don't celebrate the accomplishments of whatever celebrity that you have, but there was a time when I knew a preacher's daughter. She wouldn't miss a Carlos Santana concert. It didn't matter if it was on a Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. It didn't matter. She had to be at a Carlos Santana concert. And her dad, being the preacher, that's fine. Go ahead. You're going to live only once, right? Coming from a preacher and allowing his daughter to go to Carlos Santana concerts. Idolatry. Or maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but the Bible calls it idolatry. If it takes the first place God should have in our lives, then it is idolatry. Yes. Let's think about it, and let us hope that we are giving God the first place in our lives. Amen. God bless you.